these things might seem random, but it all compounds over time to increase your wealth consciousness. So next time you're online, change your signature, your passwords, and the name of all your accounts. Ensure that they're exactly what you mean them to be, not something random and without meaning. Really look and see what you're putting out to the universe. These things are easy changes to make and require very little thought or effort on your part. It's the lazy girl's guide to manifesting. Every time you see one of your automatic reminders or type your goal instead of a password, it's another message to your subconscious that you're ready for your goals to manifest and you're ready to claim being a wealthy woman. Crowd out the negativity. When you want to make dietary changes, it's easier to simply crowd out bad food with healthier options rather than making massive changes that end up sabotaging your diet. It's the easiest way to make a behavior change. Anything else feels too hard. All of the easy actions in the previous sections of this book compound over time. And the idea is that all of the positive messages about money will crowd out the negative. It really is the lazy person's manifesting tool bag. Another thing to watch is what you put out into the world. Beware of the energy you're putting out on social media, the words and phrases you use. And seriously, please don't spread urban myths and fear-based messages without researching if they're actually true. They create fear for everybody and are a complete waste of time and energy. Only spread positive messages. And this doesn't mean you can't be an activist or stand up for what you believe in. Just be discerning and use your energy wisely. You can't fight every fight in the world. When I'm having a bad day, I stay away from social media. I'm aware of my growing audience and I wouldn't want to infect anybody with my temporary negativity. And sure, I'll share real life struggles to show that I'm not perfect either, but I see my job as inspiring people, not being a Denise Downer. Besides, if I share it, I'll stay in that negative state longer and I want to get out as quickly as possible. You'll never hear me say things like, "It's so hard to get clients, make money, get out of debt, etc." or use language like desperate, broke, scared, etc. I don't complain about taxes, the government, or the price of things either. I rarely go on negative rants, except occasionally something weird and Virgo related, like nobody knows how to hang clothes for optimal drying time or how to stack the dishwasher properly, because that will infect my day too. If I see too many negative messages from a friend, client, or family member, I'll actively hide them from my newsfeed. And really negative people, I'll unfriend them. Either way, I have to protect myself and my energy, and so do you. I choose the news I want to watch, and I avoid most forms of sensationalist media. I don't watch much horror anymore except for the occasional zombie show, and I sidestep any political or religious discussions that might raise my blood pressure. It's not worth it. I've also phased out friendships with people who invite too much drama into their lives, who use more negative than positive language, or who constantly obsess about their problems without doing anything about them. Honestly, it's okay to say no and ban people from your life if they aren't adding to it in a positive way. Basically, you can choose. You can choose the messages you take into your brain. I'd say more on this topic, but my friend and mentor Leonie Dawson says it better. I've quoted below a section from her book, 73 Lessons Every Goddess Must Know, with her permission, of course. Okay, Leonie says, "You have permission. Dearest goddess, today and every day, you have permission. You have permission. Today and every day, you have permission. You have permission to say no to demands on your time that don't light you up and don't give energy back to you. You have permission to not give a crap what's happening outside your world and keep your energy focused on what you're creating. You have permission to let go of friendships that make you feel like shit. You have permission to say no whenever you like, however you like, in whatever kind of voice you like, without feeling like only mean girls say no and nice girls say yes. That's bull. Yes and no have equal weighting. What's important is if you use them when they're the best things for you, not out of fear, obligation, or guilt. You have permission to know that yes is powerful and so is no. That power comes from you using either from your highest spirit and truest integrity. You have permission to change. You have permission to not be the person you once were. You have permission to get angry and self-righteous and also to glean the wisdom from those emotions. They are leading you to where your boundaries are and where they've been crossed and what you need to do from now on. You have permission to be exactly how you are. You have permission to not be more like anyone else in the world, even if you think they are better, wiser, or more popular. You have permission to be more like yourself, your gifts, and your wisdom. You have permission to not care what other people think of you. You have permission to not try and change what other people think of you. You can't ever argue that you are a good person. They will either know you are or not. You don't need to spend time with people who don't believe in you. You have permission to do things that your friends and family do not. You have permission to be wild, expressive, truthful, exciting, and outspoken. You have permission to not accept friendship requests on Facebook or anywhere else in your life. You have permission to block people whenever you like. You have permission to share as much or as little as you like. You have permission to blog or not blog. You have permission to Twitter or not Twitter. It doesn't really matter. As long as it's making you happy, that's the best thing. You have permission to suck at a wide variety of activities. It's okay. You make up for it with your million other brilliance particles. You have permission to be whatever body shape you like. You have permission to choose and choose again and then choose again. You have permission to not always be a perfect image of something. You have permission to be a contradiction. You have permission to not go to your school reunion unless it really excites and delights you and you would love to really heart connect with people you went to school with. You have permission to not be interested in the newest fad, harem pants, geek glasses, Polaroid cameras, scrapbooking, macrame. You also have permission to be totally obsessed with them if it makes your heart light up. You have permission to cut people from your life. You have permission to surround yourself with people who are good and loving and nurturing to you. You have permission to be a disappointment to some people, as long as you're not a disappointment to yourself. You have permission to do nothing whenever you like. You have permission to make your big dream come true. You have permission to not do it all perfectly or have your shit together. You have permission to not forgive people, and you have permission to forgive people when it's right for you. You have permission to think that some people are crazy. You have permission to think that some people are smigging ice cream with chocolate and wafers and sprinkles and cherries on top. You have permission to not have the perfect relationship. You have permission to not have a relationship. You have permission to take whatever time you need for you. You have permission to make ridiculous choices for yourself. You have permission to use and listen to your intuition, to feel when things are off and to remove yourself from them even when you don't quite know why. You'll always find out why. Our intuition is here to serve us. You have permission to be down. You have permission to be up. You have permission to still believe in unicorns and fairies. You have permission to believe in things that other people think are very, very odd and strange. You have permission to not care. You have permission to believe in things that make your whole life richer and deeper. You have permission to make your own world that is the truest painting of you. You have permission to suck at colouring in. You have permission to say bugger off to anyone who's ever told you that you're not good enough, you're not worth it, you are not beautiful, you are not lovable, and you are not the most divine, wise, delicious goddess to walk the planet. You have permission to know that you are. You have permission to swear when you like, however you like, to your reckless abandon. You have the permission to not be the best of everything, just the best of yourself, and some days just the best you can do that day. You have permission to not always give. You have permission to fill your own cup up first. You have permission to have things around you that delight you. You have permission to live in a teepee if you want, or a mansion. Whatever makes your spirit shine is the right thing for you. You have permission to make choices on whether it makes your spirit shine. You have permission to know you're a goddess even when it doesn't feel like it, even when you feel utterly human, even when you want nothing more than to climb under your blanket or light up the sky. You are a goddess. You have permission. You have permission. You have permission. Big love, Leonie. And you can find the gorgeous Leonie at leoniedawson.com. Chapter summary. It's going to take a lot more mindset than you think, but it's worth it. You are richer than you think you are. Watch your thoughts about money all the time. Be vigilant and protect yourself from negative money thoughts. Gratitude is the quickest way to feel rich now, and when you feel rich, you'll attract more money. Money is all around you, so open up your eyes and go on a treasure hunt. Crowd out any negativity with as many positive messages as possible. You can't overdose on the good stuff. And bonus, don't forget to get your free Money Mantra subliminal meditation at denisedt.com/rich. Chapter 7, Upgrade Your Life Now. Sarah Ben Breathnick said, little changes and little choices add up to be revolutionary changes in your life. I believe in making quantum jumps in success, but sometimes moving forward even a tiny bit will help, especially when you're feeling blocked around money. If you live a life of constant but incremental upgrade, you will attract more money into your life. Teeny tiny amounts at first and then more and more. The speed and amount of money totally depends on your bravery and willingness to push yourself further. One really common thing that I hear from women all the time is, I can't wait till I'm rich. And then they talk about all the things they'll buy when they're finally rich. And Mark and I used to have this conversation all the time, thinking that we were acting as if we were going to be rich. In reality, though, we were pushing the time when we would be rich further away to one day. It was exactly like when we were dating. Friends and family would ask us when we were getting married. And for years, Mark would answer, in 2 or 3 years. Finally, I told him, buddy, you know that has to start counting down, right? It has to be 2 years, then 1 year, and then eventually you have to produce a ring, like now. You can't be rich one day. You have to start today. And yes, it's fun to speculate about the future, but do you know what's even more fun? Actually living it. You can't rely on someone else to make you rich. And I know because I've tried. I thought that Mark would be the stable breadwinner and that my money would come someday. And it didn't. When we were first dating, I earned more than him. He was a student. Then he started out earning me at work while I got overlooked for promotions and pay increases because honestly, I didn't believe I deserved to earn more. It sucked at first because I was the one reading all the money books, going to wealth development seminars and investing in coaching. It wasn't until I worked on my money mindset and upgraded my life without waiting for anyone else to give it to me that my income took off. And I keep on talking about this real world as opposed to the one in our heads. It's so easy to live in a state of what if when you're reading inspiring wealth books. We can all imagine what we'd do with $1 million without too much trouble, but ask us to pay for an upgrade before we feel ready? No way. Anais Nin said, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. Now, please know that I am not talking about going into credit card debt or spending money you don't have. Spending money just to impress other people also doesn't work. If overspending is your sabotage pattern, spending more isn't going to fix anything. You're not necessarily going to feel rich just by buying expensive things, especially if you can't afford to maintain them, unless it's a conscious choice that makes you feel really good about yourself. One of our bootcamp members, Debbie, admitted that she had a problem with spending. In her own words, she would spend money like an alcoholic would drink. She would do it in secret and then feel awful about it later. She was addicted to spending, but not on things of value that improved her life. She was spending for the sake of spending, a classic sabotage. To stop this sabotaging behavior, Debbie made the decision that her bank account was never going to go to zero. Instead of trying to stop herself spending cold turkey, she created a new energetic overdraft limit that was just a few $100 to start with. As long as she had a positive bank balance, she allowed herself to keep spending, but she slowly weaned herself off the urge to spend until she had nothing left. Then, over time, she gradually increased that overdraft limit until she was comfortable having several $1,000s in her account. In other words, she created a new energetic comfort level. If you're in a lot of debt right now, this book will help you work on some of the mindset blocks that got you there in the first place. As you clear those blocks, you might find yourself wanting to follow Debbie's example or even wanting to go cold turkey by cutting up all your credit cards. Again, remember, I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't tell you what the right real world actions are for you. I can tell you though that when I first started working my money mindset, I got rid of my credit card. Instead, I experienced the pleasure of paying things for cash. I paid for my laser eye surgery in cash, literally with $50, $100 bills. You bet that made me feel rich. I bought my car in cash again, literally, and owning that car outright felt amazing at the time. You don't always have to spend a lot of money to feel rich. Before the actual money showed up, I started doing things every day that made me feel rich and cost nothing. There were things like wearing my favorite perfume, doing my hair, and actually using some of my for best items like china or the tea bags that I always saved for guests. When I felt rich, I acted rich, which then gave me the courage to change more things in my life. Buying things on credit card didn't really make me feel rich beyond the momentary thrill that I got. Instead, they made me feel trapped in a cycle of debt. When you find the things that really make you feel rich deep down inside, they will help you to act in more positive ways to attract more money. It's a beautiful, virtuous cycle. In this chapter, you'll be inspired to put your money in places that might make you feel uncomfortable, and your comfort level around each expenditure will be completely personal to you. You might be totally okay with spending money on organic food, but wear the grubbiest underwear known to womankind. You might be totally comfortable staying in five-star hotels, but the thought of saving even the tiniest amount of money each month scares the shit out of you. It's okay. It doesn't matter what your particular money problem or sabotage is, the way to solve it is by making tiny upgrades. It might seem crazy at first to spend money on yourself or live more extravagantly than you're used to. However, by making minor upgrades, you'll start to vibrate at a higher frequency of wealth because you'll feel the joy and satisfaction of having or doing these things in the real world. And guess what? Yes, you guessed it. That means you'll attract more positive vibrations, so your money manifesting will become easier and more powerful. Let's change the conversation from I can't wait to I'm so lucky and this is so much fun. We'll upgrade your life in such sneaky, clever ways that your favorite form of sabotage won't even have a chance. Yes, you might still have momentary freakouts, but you'll also have the tools to deal with them. It just becomes a fun game. What can you upgrade in your life next? When you start making minor upgrades to your life, you essentially build and grow the power of your manifesting muscle. The law of incremental upgrade. I embrace this concept because I was fed up with my constant backsliding after the hype wore off from yet another money book or personal development seminar. I was initially excited and pumped to the max, but I had no idea what to actually do with the information I'd learned to actually make concrete changes in my life. Everything seemed so overwhelming. I wanted to live in a beautiful beach mansion by the sea, have an amazing car, wear gorgeous clothes that actually fit properly and didn't smell of a thrift shop, have nice hair, and be surrounded by wealth, ease, and beauty. I wanted to make a teleporting leap out of my current life into something amazing and have everything change in an instant. Honestly, I wanted to win the lottery but not change myself from the inside. I was totally on board with the millionaire mindset, but the reality of my life didn't match it. I looked around at our small apartment in literally the only area we could afford. I looked at the house itself, so wonkily built that all of the furniture slanted in different directions. And I realized that everything in my life was make-do. I had so many workarounds to make it through the day. You know when you don't even realize what you're putting up with until you have someone come and stay and you say, oh, the shower works if you jiggle it a bit and then crank the handle five times. Virtually everything in my life was like that. I remember the time our cheap IKEA bed broke and I spent a whole Saturday constructing an elaborate fix out of plywood and glue because we couldn't afford a new bed. Everything in my life was cheap, 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 but I felt paralyzed to do anything about it. I didn't have the money to fix anything and I felt stuck. There was too much crap to handle all at once, but I put pressure on myself to suddenly become this rich chick overnight. Even if I got a windfall or pay increase though, nothing really changed and the money left quickly. I wasn't energetically aligned to wealth because my overwhelming experience was mediocrity and a make-do mindset. And let me be clear here. The way that I experienced poverty in that time of my life wasn't poverty as we know it on a global scale. I understand that. My shitty life in wonky apartment was someone else's idea of extreme wealth. And I don't think it's fair that people starve or die needlessly from diseases, and I'm not being insensitive to that. However, this isn't a book about global economic justice, and yes, that's an incredibly important topic, but not my area of expertise. This is a book about removing all the obstacles from you being as wealthy as you want to be, regardless of where you're starting out. The ironic thing is that when you commit to only making incremental upgrades, you can actually make the quantum leaps much quicker. That's because you build a strong energetic foundation, so you're less likely to sabotage your success. This simple process of incremental upgrades has changed my life, increased my income, and finally allowed me to feel rich. Create your upgrade plan. An upgrade plan isn't rocket science, so don't overthink it. Just follow this really easy process to start making incremental upgrades in your own life. One, think about what makes you feel poor. Two, pick one thing to upgrade. Three, repeat. Let's break that process down a little. Number one, think about what makes you feel poor. This is your reality moment where you see how you're really treating yourself and what you're really putting up with. Write down everything in your life that you'll no longer put up with when you're rich. Anything that annoys you, embarrasses you, or makes you feel poor. For example, you might think that the rich version of you always wears perfume. In reality, however, you never really believe you deserve it, so you wear your cheapest stuff every day. Or you use a broken teacup while your beautiful one collects dust on the shelf. Number two, upgrade. The next step is to simply pick one thing at a time and upgrade it to the very next level, just a teeny tiny bit so you don't freak out. If you really can't bring yourself to spend more money or things feel really tight right now, you can start by wearing your favorite clothes more often. You could also wear your most awesome shoes, use all the beauty products in the bottom drawer, use your perfume every day, or give yourself some extra minutes to do your hair and makeup. These are all free, but they'll make you feel amazing. If you don't take the time now, what makes you think you'll start doing it when you have more money? Allow yourself to use your best bed linen more often. Or better still, go out and buy gorgeous Egyptian cotton sheets that make your bed a real oasis of calmness and a special place to rest your head. You'll go to bed feeling richer and wake up feeling richer. Imagine what you can achieve with that kind of confidence. Or imagine that your idea of rich lady underwear is La Perla, but in reality, you're currently wearing 5-year-old granny pants from Target. You'd probably freak out if I told you to go get your dingy ass down to La Perla and splash out a couple of $100 on a single set of frilly lingerie. That would just feel too scary or frivolous. It could even cause you to spiral into your own personal brand of sabotage, which we'll talk about in the next chapter, and then you'd probably regret spending the money. Plus, it would only be one pair of undies, so you'd still have to keep your old panties for the days where your special new ones were getting washed, and that wouldn't make much of a noticeable difference in your daily life. And honestly, it would just serve to highlight the massive contrast between your reality and the life you want. One pair of panties won't solve anything in the long term. That's why, instead of making a massive leap that you don't feel ready for, I recommend going for a tiny incremental upgrade. Choose the next best upgrade option from Target. Maybe you could upgrade to pretty sets from a mid-price store and work your way up there to the fanciest underwear until you find your sweet spot. But wearing even slightly nicer panties will make you feel richer. And I'm not telling you where to shop. That's up to you to decide based on what makes you feel rich. By the way, when I met Oprah Winfrey during her Australian tour, she asked me if I was wearing a Camilla caftan. And I was like, of course. I wasn't going to wear Target to Oprah. Quick smart, she said, oh, excuse me, darling. It's Target. I wear Target flip-flops all the time. Whoops. So yeah, upgrade what's important to you. Even Oprah shops at Target and doesn't make it mean anything about herself. Start with what will have the most impact on your daily life rather than anyone else's. For me, that was workout clothes because I lived in them despite rarely going to the gym. I threw out most of my old worn-out leggings and sports bras and just bought a couple of pieces from Lululemon, even though the prices made me hyperventilate at first. But gradually, I became accustomed to the quality and they became my new normal. Every time I could afford to buy out more, I threw out the old ones. Working out or just plain working on my blog just felt more abundant in Lululemon and I felt like a rich person. Soon it was an easy decision to only buy quality workout wear because I deserved it. Now, nice undies might be easy for you. If so, don't choose that as your first upgrade. Pick something that really does bug you and makes you feel poor. It could be old makeup, scrappy towels full of holes, a broken chair in your kitchen, bad lighting in your bathroom, dirty windows in your office, or something else. Choose what you'll upgrade first and then start from the bottom of the barrel and improve it as incrementally as you can handle right now. Every time you upgrade something small, it becomes part of who you are and crowds out your old poverty story. It sends a clear message to the universe that you're worth nice things, and that way you acclimatize to being richer. The new way of being then becomes your new minimum standard, your new normal. And have you noticed that you always find money for things you value? The good feelings that this gives you on a daily basis compound over time, and the universe provides the money for each upgrade because you're acting more congruently with your true inner self-worth. This isn't based on what you say, but on the action you actually take in your real world. The universe rewards you when you reward yourself. So you're still tracking your income every day, right? As you continue to track that incoming money, you'll start to see that the universe rewards you with actual cash for feeling richer. It always happens. When you start off incrementally, you'll get the urge to make bigger and better leaps as you feel braver and better about yourself. Track it and see. You don't even need to spend that much money to feel richer. Sometimes the difference between the cheapest option and the next best is only a few bucks, especially for consumer goods like coffee or tea, chocolate, hummus, hand soap, or stockings. Your basic bar of cheap chocolate is a few dollars, and the fancy version could be double that. But in the grand scheme of things, it's still a cheap luxury that will make you feel richer. Plus, you'll probably eat less of it. Do you aspire to be a generous philanthropist but think that's way off in the future? Start being generous now. Why not donate your unwanted gift vouchers to others for an instant feel-good fix? Pay it forward and practice what it feels like to be a generously wealthy woman. It's an incremental upgrade that doesn't cost you anything. Realize too that it's not the stingy money habits you need to give up. It's the perception of yourself that you have to shift. Change the perception that you're not the kind of person who chooses the fancy option or stays in the nice hotel or gets a cab instead of the bus. Nobody is going to give you permission to be a wealthy woman. You have to create that reality by feeling it in small ways on a day-to-day basis. It's not enough to meditate or visualize being rich, although that is useful. Instead, you've got to put yourself in the reality by feeling it in the real world. You'll prove it to yourself through the small daily actions you take. And Oprah Winfrey said, "What you believe has more power than what you dream or wish or hope for. You become what you believe." And then step number three, repeat, repeat, repeat. This upgrade process lasts forever because your tastes and personal standards continue to change over time. Make a commitment to take everything to the next level, but remember, you don't have to do it all at once. Just pick one or two symbolic things to work on each week and see how each one feels. Challenge yourself to try out things that the rich version of you would do. Don't put any pressure on yourself to get it right the first time. Either you'll like each upgrade or it will help you to refine what's really important to you. Either way, it's going to be really useful information when you pay attention to the stories and beliefs that come up with each one. For example, if you usually park miles away from your meetings, practice getting valet parking and see how it feels. That, like $30, will teach you more about your money fears than reading 50 money books. It puts your new money beliefs to the test. It might uncover new stories or old ones that you need to release. It's totally okay to try something out and think, "That's not for me." But it's also okay to discover that you love it so much that it becomes your new normal. If you're a fast food addict, you could try breaking your habit and upgrading the quality of your food. If you're already a whiz in the kitchen, take it to the next level and start buying better ingredients. Imagine the pleasure that cooking with real vanilla beans or fancy spices will give you. Or you might realize that you don't have expensive tastes after all, and that's okay too. You could upgrade your beauty regime by going to the hair salon more frequently than you used to. Maybe right now you wait till your dark or grey roots are practically down to your ears before you make an appointment. If so, go a little bit more regularly until you reach your sweet spot. Say yes to the extra hydration treatment. Get a blow dry just for the hell of it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get a good blow dry, I feel like $1 million. The day feels sunnier, everyone smiles at me, and I'm practically bouncing down the street with my own personal wind machine, Beyonce style. If that sounds like you too, that's the best $50 you can spend to improve your money mindset. A lot of lucky bees have told me that upgrading their hair experience has been profound, as superficial as that sounds. When I have a speaking engagement or a conference to attend, I'll always get my hair professionally blow-dried. It's just my new normal. Plus, you know how much time that saves me when I'm traveling? It's amazing. And it has a knock-on effect because I'm much more confident about talking to new people. It's a small price that I'm willing to pay for the luxurious feeling it gives me. Looking and feeling great can have a direct impact on your earning potential too. It's a fact that well-groomed women earn more. Ignore the sexist undertones for a minute because the energy behind self-care actually does help. You'll attract better clients when you feel confident. And spending that money before it shows up is an awesome investment. Make a highly symbolic upgrade. To really show the universe you're serious about wanting more money in your life, you need to show how much you value money with highly symbolic upgrades. One example for me was when I decided to get a bookkeeper. I'd been putting it off because I thought it was going to be expensive and I felt like I shouldn't spend money on something like that. That was for more established business owners, not disorganized beginners like me. What I realized was, though, if I wanted money to be a top priority in my life and my business, I needed to be more organized with my money now so I could become the pro I wanted to be. And I was neglecting my bookkeeping. I never did my taxes on time, and I frequently had to pay late fines. Looking at my expenses piling up just made me want to vomit. I had to find a symbolic upgrade that really told money, hey, you're a priority in my life, and showed the universe that I was serious about going pro in my business. I knew a bookkeeper was a great next step, but I didn't feel ready. I kept waiting for the money to show up before I showed up for my money. Every time I thought about my taxes or looked at my receipts piling up, I felt sick, ashamed, and unworthy. It was a huge waste of energy, so I know this would be a symbolic upgrade for my finances. And when I finally decided to stop expending all that extra energy on doing something outside my zone of genius, it was the best investment ever. Start as you mean to go on. What do you need to upgrade in your business to go pro this year? Think about the symbolic upgrades that you can take that will show that you value money highly in your life. You could start a business bank account or get a better credit card that gives you reward points. You could get a separate business credit card. You could just pay your bills on time or even early by setting up direct debits that go automatically out of your account. What are some of the things you're going to do now that really show money? Hey, you and me, we're friends. Think about how it would feel if you prioritized money in your life. If you made wealth and affluence an absolute top priority in your life. What would a millionaire choose? Sarah, one of my boot campers, was going through a divorce and had to find a new place to live. She had looked at a variety of apartments, some cheap, some more expensive. She fell in love with a more expensive apartment and knew she had to upgrade as a promise to her new life. Sarah said, "At first, I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to pay for my new lifestyle now that I was divorced, but I remembered the lessons that Denise taught me, and after I made the commitment, things just kind of fell into place to make it happen." Sarah had agonized over the decision of whether to take the more expensive apartment because she felt guilty about wanting an upgraded life. She even had friends tell her to get the cheaper one because it was the sensible thing to do, which, don't you hate that? For Sarah, though, going for the more expensive place was symbolic of how she wanted her new life to be. She didn't want to just settle. And honestly, she really could afford the more expensive one, but she was still experiencing conflicting feelings about it. She said, "It was a kind of feeling of, yes, that's the smart choice. That's the one I should rationally go for, probably because I could save some money. But I'd be in the same place in my life. It wouldn't really signify that anything was different. Whereas the new apartment totally signifies that my life is different." Now, when you're faced with a choice like this, where you have to decide whether to stay small and cheap or go big, bold, and expensive, ask yourself what the millionaire version of you would choose. Would you move into a one-bedroom condo or the condo with two bedrooms and a study so you can have a proper office space to do your work? That way, with that extra space, you can show the universe that you value your ability to make money. Now, you might be like Sarah and think, "I shouldn't want that." It's like at some point you've been told that you shouldn't want to have the best. You shouldn't want more. You should just be happy with what you've got or what you've been given, even by the universe or other people. Well, this whole book is about giving yourself permission to not only want better for yourself, but to upgrade your life in all the ways that are going to make it possible for your dreams to come true, no matter what they are. This is not about being ostentatious, spending money unnecessarily, or becoming a person you don't want to be. This is about embracing your power and making your life better, enhancing who you are through money. Practice being generous. A lot of women have a dream of becoming wealthy so they can give money away. A worthy ideal for sure. Some personal development and abundance teachers say that you should tithe 10% of your income to charities, to your church, or anywhere else where you get spiritual food. I think that's a beautiful practice, but again, don't get caught up in thinking that's the only way to get rich. I love giving when I feel called to, and this past year I've made several large donations that pushed me right out of my comfort zone. Literally, I was sweating and feeling sick about it. But it also felt big and abundant and exactly in line with my vision of myself as a rich woman who is moved by something and gets out her checkbook to help. It wasn't easy, but I had to step into that vision of myself and put up some cash. This is as true for the $100 donation that I made in my first year of business as it is for the multi-$1,000 donations that I make now. Both feel scary, so you have to work your way into that generosity today, not at some point in the future when you feel richer. So if giving is important to you, start giving now in a way that makes you feel generous and happy. Experiment to find out what kind of philanthropist you'll be in the future. Start the process of becoming her now. If you give money to a homeless guy out of guilt, practice making a bigger contribution to a talented busker instead and see how it feels. Read the newspapers, and when you see an inspiring story, send some money. It will feel much better than a regular direct debit to a charity that you never think about again. You could donate money to Kiva.org each month and see your contributions build up over time, or make a few big splashy donations a few times a year. Tip just a little bit more than you're comfortable with and practice feeling generous. That nervous energy is good. It's training yourself to become more abundant now, not when you're richer tomorrow. Experiment and practice discernment with how you give your money now, and you'll start becoming that wealthy philanthropist today. Mike Dooley says, the secret to living the life of your dreams is to start living the life of your dreams today in every little way you possibly can. Making all of these relatively minor upgrades before the big money shows up will show the universe that you're ready for more and you really believe you deserve it. After a while, all the minor upgrading will add up to big leaps towards your ultimate goals. Remember, you don't have to go on a crazy shopping spree, and I really don't recommend blowing out your credit cards. That defeats the purpose of manifesting more money. Just start with one thing at a time until it becomes part of your normal routine and you feel confident that you can always afford it. Then pick something else. Rinse and repeat. Gertrude Stein said, whoever said money can't buy happiness didn't know where to shop. Live like a wealthy person now. Live like a wealthy person before you're ready. Find ways to incorporate your dream life into your reality now. You'll honestly be so surprised about how affordable it can be. So what does the wealthy version of you wear? Fancy or casual? You decide. But I really recommend that you start by decluttering your wardrobe and booking in to see a good stylist who'll help you to develop your own wealthy woman style. Hiring a stylist is an activity I always thought only rich women could afford. It's actually not that expensive, and in many big department stores, it's even free. It saves you time, money, and effort because you know the clothes they choose for you will always look good, fit you well, and suit you. This will save you so much money in the end, but you'll feel like a fancy, rich celebrity. Do you know how fun it is to say to a friend, oh, this dress? My stylist picked it out for me. It's hilariously fun to practice feeling rich, and you don't have to be an asshole about it either. In fact, confide in your friend how little it actually costs you and expand her awareness of what's possible for her too. This will have a huge impact on your manifesting ability. Show the universe that you're worth more and you'll be rewarded for it. Now, you might think you'll save money by buying a cheap pair of shoes. In the long run, though, you'll probably end up spending more because they don't fit you right and they don't make you feel fabulous. So you'll always be looking for the next pair. Now, bootcamp member Claire chose to upgrade her clothes and decided to buy the expensive jeans instead of her usual ones, even though a part of her didn't think she was the type of person to wear that brand. But she says, I just wear them over and over again, knowing they look amazing. It saves me even looking in the shops or worrying about how they look because I know they are perfect. What about outsourcing chores that you hate? Mark and I are really busy people, and to be honest, cleaning is not our favorite thing to do. Okay, let me say that again with the truth. I'm a really lazy person and I hate cleaning with a passion. I'm just not that busy by design. I just don't want to spend my time cleaning. This isn't a new rich Denise thing. I've always been this way. When my mum sent me to my room to clean, I'd sit against the door with a book and then clean everything in the last 5 minutes. So years ago, even before we even earned good money, Mark and I had a cleaner twice a month. We always knew that when we were rich, one day, we'd have a cleaner. However, knowing that we had to step into our dream life incrementally, we decided to try it out and get someone way before we could actually afford it. And honestly, it's not like the extra money was just sitting around and we just reprioritized it from another big expenditure. We literally did not have the money. That year, Mark and I decided instead of giving each other expensive Christmas presents, we'd have a strict budget of $10 each. Yet we had a cleaner and I spent money on personal development courses. We decided that even though getting a cleaner felt like a big deal to us at the time, it was worth it because it made us feel rich in a way that presents didn't. And we loved it. We were willing to sacrifice things we didn't really care about in order to make an upgrade that would make us feel richer. We freed up time and energy to work on our careers and make even more money. So we always found the money and it paid off. Then when we moved into our penthouse, our first really first-class living environment, we upgraded to a weekly cleaner and then the universe tested our boundaries again. We interviewed some cleaners who didn't want to make beds or wash dishes or take out the garbage. And I don't want to be bossy and ask them to do things they don't want to do, I found myself thinking. Plus, having a weekly cleaner was bumping up against my old stories that rich people were lazy and exploitative. My mother cleaned houses when I was a kid. Who was I to have a cleaner now? I felt like a total bitch. I knew that this most recent upgrade was just another test from the universe. I decided to take back my power and I was really clear and upfront about what I wanted in the interviews. I just said, I totally respect that you don't want to do these things, but this is the job description. So no problem, but it's just not a good fit. And then of course, as soon as I gave myself permission to create my ideal life, we found a great cleaner who happily did everything that we asked for. By being honest about my desires and not compromising, I ended up finding the perfect person. When we started growing our family, we had to upgrade again, this time with a nanny slash housekeeper to help with laundry, light tidying, and even meal preparation. We increased our cleaner's hours and added in more tasks like changing the sheets and towels. We got more discerning about our wants. And I'm sure as our family grows, we'll upgrade more. My dream is to have a full-time housekeeper and maybe even a private chef. Ooh, how decadent. The point is, I had to start with that first hire, a cleaner twice a month. Each upgrade got me closer to the goal, gave me practice in managing someone, and avoided the sudden shock of hiring a full-time person. Each upgrade is practice. Each upgrade helps you to become accustomed to your new life. It layers in your capacity to receive and creates a really strong foundation to your first-class life. You show the universe that you're serious about becoming the person you've always wanted to be and you're not just waiting for a windfall out of the sky. Start today by imagining the life you want for your future and taking just one practice step towards it. Get ready for the money. Some upgrades will move faster than others. I told you how I manifested our penthouse, but how did I get ready for that with incremental upgrades? It didn't just happen overnight, and I didn't move houses every 6 months to slightly bigger and better ones. This upgrade was actually a big leap in reality, and because I didn't want to move every 6 months, I had to upgrade my belief incrementally that it was actually even possible. So I spent every weekend looking at beautiful houses on the internet. And then when I felt braver, I went to auctions and open house days for increasingly expensive houses to experience my ideal lifestyle, even just for a few minutes. Looking is free. I had to pretend that I believed I deserved to be there. After all, if you're afraid to even pretend, why would the universe make it happen for you? You're clearly not ready yet. I belong here. This is my type of house. This is where I live. I affirmed every time I walked through those gorgeous homes. I pictured myself living there and I whispered to myself, universe, this is what I want. My goal was cemented in the top of my mind whenever I visited those dream homes. I could see it, smell it, hear it, and most importantly, feel it. And don't worry about feeling like a fraud. Most real estate agents don't mind if you're just looking. They can tell the owner they had more people through the house, and guess what? They'll get your business eventually. I remember a few years ago pretending to look at a $1 million house. That estate agent was a bit snobby, but most were totally friendly. And guess who gets our business now? Yeah, walking through those houses when I couldn't afford it made way for me to believe that I could. When I flew and I was stuck in economy class right at the back of the plane, I imagined what it would be like to travel in first class. I'd always make a point of pausing as if I was about to move to the front of the plane. I worked on decluttering negative beliefs about traveling first class, that it's a waste of money or not worth it, etc. Then I started upgrading incrementally, first by paying for a slightly better seat in economy. And you'd be surprised how many people don't do this. So I usually got to sit in the very front row of economy for less than $50. Then I would use frequent flyer points to upgrade to premium economy. Then I actually paid for premium economy. Then I used points to upgrade to business and so on and so on. I couldn't go from economy to business straight away. I wasn't ready to invest that much, but I worked my way up to it. I acclimatized to business class until it felt like no big deal. Practice makes perfect. Practice and try out the upgrades to see if you actually like them. I made one of my money boot campers go and test drive some cars to see what it would feel like to be able to drive the car of her dreams. She actually said the expensive one felt meh, but the mid-price one felt awesome. Interesting information for her. She wasn't really looking for a new car, but she needed a breakthrough from her previous mindset of we can't afford it, so we won't bother even looking. It doesn't sound like a big leap just to test drive a car, but you might not know your real tastes and preferences until you try it out. I'm also not a big fan of spending all of your money on just one outrageously expensive item at the cost of everything else. When Mark and I first lived together, we'd see people with tiny cheap houses but the biggest flat screen TV ever. Personally, I think it's irresponsible to spend money you don't have on luxury goods, especially if the rest of your life is crap. That's why I love the incremental upgrade. You start with whatever is bugging you first and just take it to the very next level. That way, you build your wealth mindset with a really strong foundation and with few gaps on the way to being rich. Until the money shows up, do whatever you can to get yourself closer to your first class life. Go and look at that expensive leather couch you've always wanted. Sit on it for a few minutes every week and really feel what it would be like to have that beautiful piece of furniture in your home. You might love it, or you might realize the leather gets sweaty or it's just not that comfortable. Good to know, right? But you'll learn to make decisions based on desire, not just price. Go into a nice department store and pretend you can buy anything in it. You're just choosing not to today. Ask questions about different items, try things on and feel the difference. Learn to be discerning and figure out what your taste really would be if money weren't an issue. Decide exactly what color and style you'd have based on your own preference instead of the price tag. As you visit parts of your dream life, put your hand on your heart and say to the universe, it's my time and I'm ready for my first class life. When I was an event planner in my 20s, I'd always go and look at the most expensive hotels and conference rooms, even if they were out of my client's budget, just to see what it felt like. I pretended that my colleague Phil was my personal assistant, and maybe they saw right through me, but it helped me to feel more comfortable around luxury. That's what these practice upgrades are about, increasing your capacity for pleasure and helping you step into your life as a rich woman. Mary J. Blige says, it's the first step, getting out the door, that's the toughest. If you can do that, you've already won. The billionaire's phone. What kind of phone does a millionaire own? What about a billionaire? Maybe their phone is the same as yours, the latest iPhone or Galaxy, but it's probably not a cracked one. So if you're cheaping out in this area, it's time to upgrade. Of course, if you already have your version of a first-class phone, you can pick something else. There are some things that you'll upgrade to the point where you've reached a natural limit, and then you'll choose to upgrade something else. Literally, if you had all the money in the world, you might still choose to have an iPhone. After all, buying the latest version isn't ridiculously expensive unless you get a limited edition gold-plated one. But becoming a rich woman might not change some of your tastes, and you don't have to find new and inventive ways to spend more money just for the sake of it. You might still shop for food in the same way as you do now, choosing organic produce and expensive tomatoes. So when you've reached the limit of your food upgrade, pick something else. There's no such thing as gold tomatoes, or at least I don't think so. First class for you doesn't always have to mean the most expensive. Learn to feel good about spending money on things that bring you pleasure. Support local businesses. Make ethical choices and encourage others to do the same. Be generous with yourself first and you'll become richer for it. And then you can create good in the world through your generosity too. When you reach the pinnacle of what you'd probably choose if you were a billionaire, then choose something else to upgrade. Eleanor Porter said, "Money won't buy you happiness unless we exchange it for the things that will bring happiness. If we don't know how to get any happiness out of $5, we won't know how to get it out of $500 or $5,000 or $500,000. Being cheap with yourself. Most of us have to ease our way into feeling wealthy. You'll find your own natural standards over time and they'll become your new normal. Making the decision once to have a first-class life saves so much energy. It means you can stop agonizing over the small decisions, the ones that seem cheap but cost you more in the long run. We sometimes make things difficult for ourselves because we're reluctant to pay the money for the right solution. Maybe we think we should do it ourselves, or deep down, we don't believe we deserve the very best. An example of this in my own life happened when we had some gross puke stains on our carpet. I refuse to say who or what caused the stains, but I want to make it very clear it wasn't me. We tried to clean the stains ourselves, but they didn't totally come out, so it was still visible and a bit smelly. Every time I walked into the room, I could see it. It lingered in the back of my mind as one of those little annoyances that affected my daily life, none of which made me feel rich. Finally, after 3 days of seething over those stains, I called a cleaning company who specialized in deep cleaning carpets. They came around with their giant machine, and in less than 15 minutes, they got all the stains out, and it only cost $65. Just $65 to solve the problem. In fact, to remove the problem completely and thus save me from looking at it or worrying about it ever again. But I have to admit, I was reluctant to pay the money. I thought that I should be able to do it myself, or that it was lazy to pay someone else to do it for us. You might laugh, but female entrepreneurs are notorious for doing things that we should outsource to experts. Instead, we settle for the make-do-fix. We feel like we should know how to do it alone. We not only polish the poop, we roll it in glitter for good measure. Where in your life are you trying to polish a poop? Maybe you try and do everything yourself, from websites to PR. Or maybe you pay bits and pieces of money for cobbled together solutions that don't quite work. Maybe you're waiting to get the new laptop, iPad, iPhone, whatever, because you can't yet justify the expense or you don't feel ready for the best equipment. Do you know how many entrepreneurs are trying to create a $1 million business on shitty equipment? It's just not going to work. Maybe you're driving a car that's falling apart and continuing to pay money to get it patched up instead of buying a new car. Or are you being loyal to a hairdresser or a beauty therapist even if you aren't happy with their service anymore? Maybe you resent your partner because they buy new shoes and clothes when they need them without feeling guilty about it. Men tend to do that sometimes. The good news is that every time you choose the VIP or the upgraded option, every time you choose to honor yourself, your time, and let's face it, your mental health, the universe rewards you. Sometimes it's going to cost money to upgrade and you just have to suck it up. Yes, upgrading might make you feel guilty and bring up all your money stuff, but trust me, it will change the way you feel about yourself and you'll attract more money to pay for it. So what are you going to do today to upgrade your life? Pick one thing today in your day-to-day life that's wasting unnecessary energy and immediately upgrade it, whether it costs money or not. Call the cleaning company and book them in for a trial. Buy a few hours of the virtual assistant's time. Lock in the date for your new headshots by paying a small deposit. Go through your closet and chuck out everything that's not coming with you on the journey. Sometimes putting yourself in luxurious situations might feel uncomfortable. You might judge the people around you in the Jaguar showroom, Or you might notice weird rich lady plastic surgery in the fancy tea room. Remember, you can be the exact type of rich person you like. The beautiful thing about an incremental upgrade is that you can take action on it straight away and lack of money is no excuse. Put your money where your mouth is. It's incredibly fun to find new and symbolic things to upgrade, but you have to take action before more money shows up in your life. It's not the other way around. You have to treat yourself as worthy now. This is why I preach this important message. You don't have to win the lottery to achieve your dreams. There's nothing you can do to make that happen except buy a ticket and hope. You're much better off making small upgrades in your everyday life because you feel like you can control your success and take action towards it. You can take a small action several times a day and immediately feel the change inside. Imagine if you bought a lottery ticket every hour or even every day. That would give you a gambling addiction and still wouldn't guarantee you a win. But you have the power to create even more magic in your life through simple everyday actions, and the universe always rewards action. You'll see that new clients come in to help you pay for your travel. You'll see special deals so the upgrade won't cost as much as you feared. You'll be rewarded in thousands of small ways that will make it worth it. But you have to start before you're ready. Show the universe that you're worth it now. If you're experiencing resistance around something like this, it's not because the universe is saying that's for everyone else and not for you. Instead, the resistance is coming up because there's still something there that you haven't cleared. Go back and declutter a belief or judgment that you have around money or rich people. Remember, when in doubt, always go back to step one of the money manifesting formula. Every upgrade action shows the universe that you're worthy of living an abundant life. Because you are. It's your time and you're ready for the next step. Chapter summary. Don't wait until you're rich. You become rich by upgrading your life incrementally in ways that make you feel wealthy. Upgrading incrementally gives you a strong foundation to hold and retain your future wealth so you don't sabotage it. Upgrade strategically by choosing the most symbolic economy class things in your life. This will have the biggest impact on your manifesting ability. Practice feeling wealthy so you can learn discernment and decide what's really important to you when you take price out of the equation. And then rinse and repeat. You'll never run out of ways to upgrade your life. Chapter 8, dealing with your money sabotages. Marilyn Ferguson said, "Each of us guards a gate of change that can only be unlocked from the inside." Now, you have the best of intentions to change your life and you're proud of yourself for embracing this new Lucky Bee lifestyle. You've been forgiving like a mofo, you've put a million positive reminders into your iPhone and you're religiously tracking every single cent. You've even picked up money in the street. I'm proud of you. And then one day you get a speeding fine or crash your car. You discover that you owe the tax man instead of getting the expected refund. Your relationship goes to shit. Your computer craps itself and dies and you suddenly go up two dress sizes. What the hell is going on? You're like, "Denise, you told me to forgive all the assholes in my life. I threw away all of my clothes and I brought some fancy schmancy hand soap. I'm muttering my affirmations on the train like a crazy person. And now my life is falling apart. I'm going to burn this stupid book. Thanks for nothing." Well, hold your horses, partner. It's just your sabotages talking. Here's the good news, girlfriend. Get through this temporary wonky period and you'll make a huge leap forward. I promise it's just a test. Just your old zits coming up because you're cleaning everything out. I know it sucks, but it's the test before things improve. Your sabotages are your default fear pattern showing up when things are going too well. It's that pesky feeling like when you've stretched your elastic too far and you ping back into your old reality. I have my own sabotaging behaviors, which I've worked hard to recognize and stop. Remember, you're always a work in progress and more money doesn't mean that your life is going to be perfect. When I was a kid, if something good happened, I was sure that something bad was about to follow it. Then, as an adult, I continued with this self-fulfilling mindset. Whenever anything good happened, like a new client, a promotion, or a cute guy asking me out, I'd feel good for about 5 seconds and then I'd feel sick with anxiety. It was like I was waiting for the piano to fall on my head. That's why so many bad things continued to happen to me. I totally manifested them. When I was in my 20s, there was much less drama in my life than when they'd been in my childhood, but my body still craved it in some way. So I created